Former NHLer, now writing at OilersNation.com, Brian Sutherby joins us. Suds, how you doing?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Very well. I'm not sure if you heard that interview with Brent Sutter, but I know you're doing some hockey camps, and he had some it was interesting. He told me, and I want you being recently in the NHL, he said when he went to the NHL, he was told basically that to make the players robotic, teach them to know where to go and what to do, and almost, you know, have them so they're robots and they can't necessarily react. You ever have a coach who did that?
Not to that extent, or not that actually came out and said you guys have to be robots, but, you know, the game has gone in that direction. I've heard you say a few times that Parise came out and said coaches are going to ruin the game, and they kind of are in a sense. Video, I think training, money has a big effect on what has happened to the game since, say, the freewheeling 80s, 90s, etc. But, you know, you look at the New Jersey Devils and where Sutter was. Lou Lamoriello, defensive system, the most structured team going, and they win, right? I mean, they had, for a long time there, they were an organization that, I think, three cups and always a team that was right there, a couple Stanley Cup final trips. So that's what's happening, is even though it's boring, it's ruining the game to watch it, it's not a lot of fun, but you win when you play defense, unfortunately. So To hear that, I'm not shocked at all.
He followed it up with, you know, just talking about how there's got to be a way to try to reverse it, because the game is going about, you know, in the game it's all about system, and all young kids, everybody wants their kids to play games, not practice, but the games are also regimented. They're not really learning anything.
Oh, it's a shame. I had lunch with my trainer a couple days ago, and I talked to him, and it was almost the exact same conversation you guys were having there about kids. He says he's got kids coming to him, parents 8, 9 years old, wanting to work out, and he doesn't do on ice stuff. Like this is parents that are pushing their kids to work out, and it's just going in such a direction that's disappointing. He said the exact same thing, that his young guy's 10 years old. All the kids at his age group, his son's a pretty good hockey player, playing top tier hockey, and everyone's playing summer hockey. Everyone's playing 365 days a year. The baseball players all play baseball. None of the kids play baseball. He said he's going to finally put his young guy in baseball this year and just kind of take a breather. I think that's why I said it's a lot about money. You know, just getting to that next level, it seems like it's evolving and become more about a career and what it can lead you to than just being a kid's dream or a parent's dream to be Wayne Gretzky or Mark Messier. It's becoming a business, sadly, at a young age. I remember when I was a young kid, I played summer hockey for 2 years, and I played baseball, and I was doing taekwondo. I was busy, crazy busy, but I remember telling my dad, I don't want to play hockey anymore. I don't want to play summer hockey. And he thought it was great. He thought, hey, let's focus on baseball and see where that takes you. But you'd get burned out as kids. You get burned out as much as you love the game when you're constantly being told to do this or do that. That doesn't make it a lot of fun. When I played baseball or when I was doing taekwondo and not on the ice, I was still playing hockey. I would just go to baseball practice and come home for 3 hours and play in my basement or go play with my friends outside. And like Brent said there, that doesn't happen anymore.
It's a major concern. Brian Sutherby joins us. Brian, Suds and I are Struds and I were pretty fired up earlier in the show in regards to the Oilers and, you know, their lack of team cohesiveness when one guy gets surrounded, where it, you know, it seems to be a delayed reaction before the other ones come in. At some point, doesn't, because Kirk Muller was on the show today and said that's on the players. You've got to manage that. Which player or players in the Oilers room have to change that mentality? You know, do you got to stand up in the room and yell and scream at other guys? How does it change?
I think eventually that's what's got to happen. As much as guys are uncomfortable, I have to think that's what it is, that there, and a lot of that falls on the scouts then and the GM or the GM of past and who's built this team, that, you know, their top six, top nine, there's not a lot of character there. There's not a lot of guys that want to engage physically and play that sort of game. And the situation like last night was much like the one a couple weeks ago that I was fired up about, where Petrie and Belloff sit on the blue line and Nugent Hopkins had to deal with Ballard and Hall was getting mugged by Matt Cook. I mean, it was very much the same. And at some point, the coach, you know, Aiken says all the right things to the media, that he wants that type of response. He wants a Wolfpack mentality. But when it's not happening, at some point it's got to fall on the scouting staff for the lack of character that's in that dressing room and the players. I remember when I was in Dallas one night, we had we were down in the game, but we were 6-on-5 at the end of the game versus the Anaheim Ducks. And this was the year Brendan Morrow was hurt, and Steve Ott was our only guy with any real sort of sandpaper on the ice late in the game. We had Medano, Richards, Mike Ribeiro, you know, a lot of skill guys. And at the end of the game, right at the buzzer, Otter kind of poked Jagr and just got mauled by Pronger. Travis Mullen eventually grabbed him and started teeing off, and our team just kind of stood around. And the guys on the bench, sort of, you know, the grittier guys, you can't do anything. You're sitting there watching one of your teammates get pounded, and we're all kind of thinking, why is no one at least getting – you don't have to fight, but just get in there and start pulling people off. And it's an uncomfortable position to be in if you're a guy that doesn't necessarily want to do it. But when we got back to that dressing room, there was a lot of words. There was a lot of exchanges. Even our trainer, maybe a little bit out of line, but he came in and gave us his thoughts on the type of things he saw and the type of players and way we were showing ourselves on the ice, soft, unacceptable, gutless, you know, not standing up for one another, etc. This went on. We had a long, lengthy meeting. Even the next night, Brendan Morrow, who was hurt, came on the road, called a team meeting at the hotel, and we had another roundtable with the whole team and talking about how this can never happen again. And so, you know, that's just one example of where at some point it's got to come from the players. Whether they want to do it or not, I mean, Justin Schultz, a lot of these guys, that's not what they want to do. They don't want to be in that situation. But they have to. They got to help their teammate. Taylor Hall doesn't. You see Taylor Hall, he doesn't want to be in there. He's trying to get out of there as well. So you got to stand up for one another and make each other comfortable.
Yeah, it has to happen. And you have to go into uncomfortable situations,
right,
as well. If you ever want to win in this league, you got to get uncomfortable. In most businesses, usually you start to reach your success once you've learned how to deal with uncomfortable situations.
Absolutely. It's all about doing things that maybe you're not used to doing. You're not comfortable. You didn't do it in junior. You didn't block shots, or you didn't back check, or you didn't necessarily engage guys in the corner. But at this level, when you're trying to win hockey games, it's tough to win, and you got to start doing things that necessarily you don't want to do. And one, I mean, I don't understand it. I don't understand how you can watch a teammate, a friend off the ice, on the ice, whatever, just sort of get attacked and not jump in, not have any kind of response. And you see that, and I sit back and watch them play a team like the Blues that I have said before I really like. I love their makeup. They can play you any way they want. Matt, you want to play a tough game, we'll play you that way. You want to play skill, we can match you that way. You have to be able to play that way, and they don't do it.
And I'm not sure, Struds, like, maybe Craig McTavish is the GM or the coach. Somebody has to say something or say, if you guys don't want to do that, then we're going to get you out of here. Because to me, that's a cultural issue.
Well, that's where they have to get guys that can help out a Taylor Hall or Nugent Hopkins or guys like that. They have to find a way to sprinkle in some grit in their top six. We've talked about it forever. Everyone says it. Everyone thinks it. But at some point, you have to realize it. And you have to... People don't like fighting nowadays, some, but you can't tell me that Taylor Hall wouldn't feel more comfortable knowing that going into situations like that, going into places like St. Louis, they're going to be matched up against Backes, they're going to have Brendan Morrow on them, Steve Ott's going to be running around. You can't tell me that Taylor Hall wants to deal with guys mugging him after whistles, or if he's going to have a little edge to his game, he's always going to have someone in his face, that he's not going to be more comfortable and be a better player if he doesn't have a guy that can step in for him and be a guy that goes, hey, you touch Taylor Hall, you're going to deal with me tonight. And that's going to settle David Backes down. That might settle Brendan Morrow down, and that allows Taylor Hall to play and gives him room.
Brian Sotheby, a former NHLer, writes at OilersNation.com, joins Gregor live at On the Rocks. The Blues, Suds, I think they're the best team in the NHL. What do you think?
Well, I love them. I the way that they play the game, as I just said, their leader, David Backes, he's a guy that's kind of really rounded. I mean, I remember a couple years ago playing against him. It seemed like he wanted to play physical. He had the talent, and he played physical, but he didn't necessarily want to engage in sort of the fisticuffs. And now you see him, he's an offensive guy, he's a physical guy, he's on the forecheck, and he's engaging guys. He's almost a bully out there, and it's fun to watch. And you see him put guys in uncomfortable situations that don't really want to deal with them. And as a leader, as a teammate, when you see your best player going out there and playing that brand of hockey, that makes you want to play that way, even if that's not necessarily your thing. It's kind of that same thing where you lead by example and other players want to do what he's doing. Tarasenko, I mean, jumping Taylor Hall, or Sobotka, I mean, those aren't guys that you would think would be doing that, but it's bred into them either through Hitch or through their leader or the guys that are around them, makes them play a little bit tougher. But you see the way they play, and I love their leadership. I love the brand of hockey. Adding Steve Ott just get even grittier and can play a skill game. It's going to be tough for anyone to come out of the West. Like, no question that it's going to be a dogfight, but they're as good as any team for me.
Well, I love them. They're gonna mop the floor in the first round. Like Minnesota,
yeah.
I'm sorry, but
yeah.
You know, and then Colorado, Chicago will obviously be a much tougher test. They're 18-0-2 in their division thus far this
wow.
year. So that's. But playoffs are a totally different beast. I really think that team. You know, David Backes really is. I think is the pulse of that team. Now I know Strudge maybe went a little too far. He said he'd take Taves and Backes over Malkin and Crosby. I'll take my two guys. But and I like David Backes a lot, but. They have skilled guys around him. He's not the most skilled. He's skilled enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's clearly the pulse and the drive. Like, you saw him, you know, challenge Jamie Benn the other day after
yeah.
Benn was beaking him. And, you know, which I would have – Benn can throw them. I was surprised he didn't go there. That would have been a great tilt.
I was really shocked. I wanted to text him, but I didn't want him – he probably would have got pissed at me. I wanted to ask him why he didn't engage there. But that's what I'm talking about. I mean, David Backes just is a guy that – everyone else is watching what their captain does. Like Jerome McGinley in Calgary, you know, remember when him and Vinny LeCavalier went at it? I mean, just emotion, pure heart, pure battle. That's what you want to see. And David Backes plays that way. He's carrying that team through by leading by example. And he can play in all aspects of the game. And everyone else wants to play that way. And when you get to the playoffs, you got to play a tough, tough brand of hockey. They don't necessarily have... a real bona fide sniper, but they're going to be tough to beat in the playoffs. And I was really shocked. I thought Jamie Benn can absolutely go. They were chatting there. I was excited watching it, thinking they were going to shed the mitts. And good on Backes for challenging him. And obviously there was a point in the game where Benny didn't feel like it was necessary on the road in their barn. Maybe he felt like in a 2-2 game it would fire up the crowd. St. Louis is an awesome place to play. For me, on the road, I thought it was one of the best places to play. The crowd's always into it. They always have a pretty tough physical team. And, you know, they seem to get going when you physically engage them as well. So maybe that's why he didn't want a dance partner.
Quickly, looking at the orders, I've had a lot of people, and I want to ask you this because you're one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are texting saying, I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask anyway. Do you think that no one went into Hall because that shows how the players think of him? I have to think no. I think the team is just soft, full of soft players. What do you think?
I don't think so, but that's a valid concern. But I really, most of the teams I've been on, not everyone's best friends in the room. It's just, there's 20, 25 guys. There's little cliques here and there. Some teams are tighter than others. Some hang out more with a group. But I really don't think that. I think no matter what, when your teammate is out there and he's in a position, it didn't matter if maybe you guys are best friends or you're not, you get in there. That's what hockey's about. It's a group of guys coming together and sticking up for one another and getting guys out of tough situations. I really don't think that that's the case, but I have no idea. I haven't talked to anyone in the room, but I feel like that's not it. To me, it's more the makeup. There's just not enough guys that on this team are willing to do that. There's not enough guys in the top six and top eight, even if you want to exclude Hendricks into the bottom three or four, that can play that game, that have that little sandpaper, that little edge, that no matter what situation someone's in, I'm going to get in there. I'm going to stick my nose in there. I forgot David Perron, who would be a guy that would absolutely stick his nose in there, but they don't have that makeup, and at some point they have to find a way to sprinkle that in, and that's going to make those guys more comfortable. Nugent Hopkins, Taylor Hall, it's going to give them more room as well.
Yeah, I agree. The reason I don't think it's Schultz and Hall, I know, are very tight. Eberle's been on the ice numerous times. Him,
exactly,
and Hall, are,
yeah.
And he never. So no, I just think it's too many guys not willing to do it. We'll see if it ever changes at some point in the future. Suds, have a good weekend.
You too, buddy.